This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. You should know there's a global anti-corruption standard called the Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. It's about disclosing who pays how much to whom in order to extract natural resources from public lands. Well, there's word from the U.S. Department of the Interior this week that the U.S. is set to flunk part of this transparency test, the bit about disclosing tax payments. This comes at a time the Trump administration is rolling back anti-corruption rules for oil and mining companies, seeing them as needless regulation. Now, as it happens, there's a new book out about pay for play across government and the private sector. Lawrence Cockcroft is co-author of Unmasked, Corruption in the West. He was one of the founders of the anti-corruption watchdog group Transparency International.
We're looking at the ways in which institutions become captured, both by money and by sentiment, and the ways in which public sector outcomes are determined by that. So this is not only a question of, for example, campaign finance, both in the U.S. and in Europe, but it's also a question of the lobbying industry.
So you see money in politics, the way it's currently played, as a form of corruption.
I would be prepared to argue, and we argue in the book, that the results of Citizens United and related legislation—
The big Supreme Court decision, yes.
Yep, and related legislation has created an atmosphere in which huge sums of money can be provided both by a very small number of people. I think 30,000 people supplied 25% of congressional and presidential funding in the last cycle. And that certainly is a quid pro quo in the sense that those people who are funding individual candidates expect a return, in this case, in terms of policy. What's at issue here is the way in which the public perceives this process. According to a very recent Pew survey in the U.S., 70% of the U.S. public considers political parties and national assemblies, in this case Congress, to be corrupt. And strangely enough, exactly the same figure of 70% has been found in very recent and very well-conducted surveys in Europe.
So money in politics, but you also talk about the corruption of sports, international soccer, football comes to mind, certainly. But with regards to American business relationships, doesn't the U.S. have strict rules about American companies greasing palms of foreign government officials?
Yeah, well, the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act passed in 1977 is an admirable act. And of course, the U.S. has persuaded all of the other members of OECD, a kind of rich nations club, to follow suit. And nearly all of them have done, at least on paper. So this has been a considerable achievement, which of course now is in danger of being undermined. The president has described that as a horrible act. And if that's the basis on which we're going to move forward, it will be a setback not only from the U.S. perspective, but very much from the rest of the industrial world.
It's not just rhetoric from the U.S. administration. I remember, I think it was in February of this year, the president signed a law that allows energy companies in particular to avoid having to disclose payments to, I guess, foreign government officials.
Yeah, well, there are several moves that have been made already by the new administration, which set back very significant achievements, not only some clauses in the Dodd-Frank legislation, but also in money laundering regulations, and above all, in the question of beneficial ownership. The last administration was very much engaged in trying to end the anonymous regime for beneficial ownership of companies, which is very relevant to the states here that enable that, notably Delaware, Wyoming, Colorado, and several others. And the moves to end the regime of anonymous beneficial ownership is something that really needs to be done. And as a matter of fact, Europe is now ahead on this. And David Cameron, UK Prime Minister, initiated some very important steps in relation to that while he remained Prime Minister. So we're trying to see the end of anonymous regimes, which prosper, of course, in offshore centers. But if we see a setback to that, or if the new administration doesn't pursue it assiduously, that's very unfortunate for the whole world economy.
Let's explain this idea of beneficial ownership. Who benefits from a business transaction, or if there's a pile of money in a bank account, who's really the person who should have title to that? It's often quite opaque. And you say some states here in the U.S. make it easy to hide who really benefits.
Yeah. This is a question to do with the ownership of companies, whether or not you can say that an individual, Jim Smith, owns the shares of a company, or whether or not it's really the pyramid fund, which is not accessible, the ownership of which is obscure, and in which, in order to trace, you need to go through about seven different levels of trust that own shares in companies that have subsidiaries and so on. And this is a regime that has been tolerated during the last 30 years and certainly characterizes places like the British Virgin Islands and the Cayman Islands. But it's something which many of us in the anti-corruption movement have been fighting to see an end of for more than 10 years. So this is very much a tipping point.
Yeah, because you think of the Caribbean, we have followed efforts, especially in the British Commonwealth countries, to rein this in. But you're talking about some U.S. states as well. Delaware, you mentioned. Wyoming,
yeah.
I think was another.
Colorado.
And even Montana, I think you said, wasn't close
yes.
behind. Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. I'm told now that the key players in this are attorney generals at the states level. And the question is whether or not they will be prepared to change their regime within the state and what the state governments choose to think about that.
We do live in interesting times when it comes to corruption and transparency. I was in Panama about a year ago, and the Panamanians really felt under pressure to make their system more transparent after the publication of the so-called Panama Papers. They felt that the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, for instance, was leaning on them, and they said they were trying to change.
Well, I think there's evidence that they were trying to change, but there's plenty of evidence that they didn't get very far. I believe the Minister of Finance resigned towards the end of last year because he couldn't see significant progress in that area. And let's face it, that the Panama Papers reveal the extent of operations by Mossack Fonseca, which was really formidable. And Raymond Fonseca is quite close to the government. He's published novels about the life in offshore centers. And I think that he's in a position of great influence within Panama. And we shouldn't expect too much to come out of reform in Panama.
More broadly, though, and you point this out in the book, there have been campaigns to change this. The OECD, the Group of 20, seems to have gotten religion on this point just a couple of years ago. Are you optimistic that if we keep working at it, we can change this general philosophy of hiding money?
Well, I'm optimistic about the potential, but I'm not at this minute optimistic about the moment in the sense that the U.S. is a leader in this area. The Europeans do tend to follow. Some initiatives are taken, like beneficial ownership, from a European perspective and to some extent piggybacked here. But generally speaking, the U.S. has moved in tandem, especially with other members of the G7. And this has unquestionably had an impact. It's not widely recognized that China now has a Foreign Bribery Act. So we don't know to what extent the recent clampdown on corruption in China has reflected use of that act. But what we do know is that it's on the books. And so that the potential is there to hold China to account for that kind of measure. So if in the rest of the world we backtrack from the achievements of the anti-bribery convention put through by the OECD rich countries, then we will indeed be taking a very major step backwards given China's influence in Africa.
I should get you to say that clearly, though. You think the U.S. may be backtracking?
Yeah, there's significant evidence of that. The Congressional Review Act that was passed a couple of months ago, the top priority in using that act related to the 1504 clause of the Dodd-Frank Act, which requires companies to report their earnings country by country as opposed to amalgamating them. And it's rather extraordinary that I think it's fair to say the State Department used its influence to make sure that was the first item to be rolled back under the Congressional Review Act.
That this was a top agenda item early in the Trump administration.
Absolutely.
This is what would get done.
Yeah.
There's also a sense, looking at Unmasked, your book, that in the West we have a tendency to point fingers elsewhere when talking about corruption. Oh, those corrupt dictators in Latin America or maybe sub-Saharan Africa. But you're saying, you know, if you're trying to clean something up, there's plenty closer to home.
Yeah. I mean, if I can just put a bit of spotlight on Europe for a moment. If we look at Italy and Spain, for example, and I would extend this to France, electoral finance has not reflected the same issues as here because it's not been so linked to political outcomes, but it's certainly been linked to personal enrichment in the Berlusconi years. And there's now a major case in Spain involving the People's Party, which is the party of the incumbent prime minister. And in France, remarkably enough, in the last years of Sarkozy, Colonel Gaddafi actually made a grant of 50 million euros to Sarkozy's party, a remarkable fact since overseas donations are illegal in France. And in the UK, we've had other issues to do with parliamentary expenditure, which has infuriated the public.
Economist Lawrence Cockcroft, along with political scientist Anne-Christine Wegener, wrote the book Unmasked: Corruption in the West. Mr. Cockcroft, thank you.
Thank you.